him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Verse number 42, I believe, is one of the secrets to truly covering a neighborhood for Christ. They went out and they talked about Jesus Christ. They done it in the temple, but they also did it house to house. I'm convinced that the greatest visitation program that any place can have is a 7-day-a-week, 24-hour-a-day visitation program. I believe you take Jesus with you wherever you go. You look for opportunities as you go, no matter where that might be. You look for opportunities, doors open, for God will give you an opportunity to tell someone about Christ, to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's the greatest visitation program there is. Now, I do believe it is right and proper for us to set a time. I think each one of us ought to make sure and say, hey, you know what, I'm going to go at a certain time. That works best for me and my schedule and all that. But at the same time, if you don't go, certainly on a Thursday night, you know, you can go on a Tuesday night. You can go on a Monday night. You can go on a Friday night. Saturday. It doesn't have to be. If we miss a certain visitation program, then you're gone. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We are to take Christ with us, no matter where we go. Amen. It's daily in the temple, yes, and house to house. And that's the way I believe the Lord intends for us to do. Last week, we've been doing a series, and we'll probably stay on this series until our revival. But we've been doing a series on just simply being a witness. If you remember, last week, we talked about how numbers mold in the scripture. Now, I've said this to you, and I mean it. The preacher means this from the bottom of my heart. You may not understand it. Numbers, for numbers' sake, absolutely means zilch. Zilch. But numbers mean a lot when it comes to when each one of those souls is saved. That means a lot. And you want to reach a bigger number because you're reaching individuals, you're reaching souls for Christ. So you want numbers. But just so that we can say, bless the Lord, that certain amount, that's not in it in this particular thing right here. I don't even involve it. Nothing about it. I just want people to say, I want people to come and hear the Bible, the Word of God, so they'll grow in their Christian life. Amen. So that's to me what it's all about. Well, but in the scriptures, remember, Jesus started with 12. And just a short time after that, the next number he used was 7. Right after that, not too long after that, on the day of Pentecost, we find that there was 120. He used the numbers 120 in the upper room. That does not mean that only 120 was saved at that point. I think there was many, many more saved than that at that point. But that's the number he gave. He comes to the on the day of Pentecost, and there was 3,000 saved for that day. What a number! So we begin to add up quite a bit. But you go over then in the next chapter, in chapter 4, you go over there and you find that the number of 5,000 men. I don't know how many women and children are saved. But what I'm saying is the numbers are adding up very, very fast. So what we've got to understand is that God can, with a group of people that is dedicated to serving him and is going out house to house, daily in the temple, God can multiply numbers tremendously. If he gets a faithful group of people that's willing to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. Over and over then, after that, early in the book of Acts, you'll find it says the disciples were multiplied. I don't know. I know what multiplication is, but I can't come up with numbers. One place, I think it's in chapter 6, verse 7, he says they were greatly multiplied. So, I'm not trying to put a number on it, but I know God is telling us he wants to do some multiplication.
You see, it's no different, folks. It's no different when I say that. I mean, it may be different times, but where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. We a lot of times talk about the time we live in, a difficult time we live in. Folks, it was difficult back then. And multitudes and multitudes and multitudes were brought to Christ Why? Because the gospel was taken out to people to be saved, so people could be saved. That's why. Now, I know we live in terrible times. I know we live in difficult times. But I want to know something. I want you to know something. God is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's still in the saving business. He still saves souls. He still has the power to do that. Okay? So I think it's time that we kind of realize that what we need is God's power to win people to Christ. We need the power of God. Amen. So I told you, I'm going to, Jerry and I got him together and we said, we're going to dedicate our lives anew and afresh. We believe we needed to do that. We needed to dedicate our lives anew and afresh and give ourselves anew to the Lord because, you know what? Your pastor's the leader of the church. And as a leader, I must do that same thing. I must set the example. Amen, of dedication unto our Lord. So in that, just remember, it's going to take all of us doing what the Scripture said here, is just going forth, doing your part. I've tried to stress with you, I'm not trying to make this difficult for you. I don't think we are. I think we're making it, when I say easy, I think we're making the Scripture way. We're not asking you to go out here and pound the pavement for 5 hours a day. What we're asking you is to make a few visits a week. You know, if you, and we talked about that, if you make 2 visits a week, you know, at the end of the year, you've made 104 visits. You've made 104 contacts. If you make just 2 a week, and I hate putting numbers on something like that, because by that time somebody say, well, that's all I need to make. Well, make as many as you can, but what I'm saying, them things multiply. They add up. If you just make some visits, make some contacts, them add up, and then just think everybody's doing that, you see? And boy, that could just multiply, amen? And that's the Scripture way of doing it, see? That's what the instruction that God has given us. He's told us we're to go and preach the gospel to every creature. I think it's so interesting when you go out in your own community and you find houses you didn't even know was there before. Out in the country, I get out in the country, I find houses sometimes, didn't even, back a lane. I didn't even know nobody lived back there. You know, the other day I found that, and I was, you know, I thought to myself, I got to get out here and find them, search them out, where are they at? And, you know, and find them, because it's the souls live there. Amen. People whose needs saved live there. So the Bible tells us that in Acts 2nd chapter 17 verse, he talks about that he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. In the last days, he shall pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. There is no reason that we cannot have God's power to be a witness. I mean, we ought to have God's power. The Holy Spirit is still doing his work. Amen. He hasn't quit working. He's just looking for instruments and people to let him work through them. See, and we understand this. We've made that very plain in our teaching on being a witness. With our own self, in our own fleshly power, it will not get done. It has to be the power of the Holy Spirit of God that wins people to Christ and be an effective witness for the Lord. He has to be the one that does it. But he's looking for instruments. He's looking for people to use. Amen? So just remember, just because it's bad days or difficult days, that doesn't stop God. Okay? That does not stop God. God is still the God that has been saving souls and continues to want to do the same thing. So what happens is, and maybe we'll take a few moments here and talk about this. We say to ourselves, why? Why is it that God's Holy Spirit is not able to work within us? Now, I'm going to give you something. I want you to take it rightly, because it's for you, it's for me, it's for every Christian. Why doesn't God work in us? Why is it that the power of the Holy Spirit is not evident in our life? Now, we've spent some time about yielding ourselves, I think a week or two or so, yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God, asking Him. The Bible says we're to ask, and He'll give God's power, He'll give His power. And all of those things. But why is it, if we don't have the Holy Spirit of God, why is it? Is it God's fault? I'm talking about Holy Spirit of power. We have Him as sealed unto justification, unto salvation. But why is it? Is it God's fault? Because we don't have power? Well, I certainly don't believe so. I believe it's our fault. So I'm going to talk to us just a few moments. I want you to go over to the book of Isaiah. The 59th chapter of Isaiah. Verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and he will not hear. Now, once again, what I'm looking at is, here's what God says. God can still save. He said, what's the problem? Well, it's our iniquities. God cannot work through people who have sin in their life and will not get rid of it, will not. And let me say this to you. It doesn't have to be some what we would call wicked sin today. It doesn't have to be adultery. It doesn't have to be drunkenness. It doesn't have to be all those things. But there's an iniquity in us, and God cannot use us as he wants to use us if there is sin in us. It may just be a rebellious spirit. It may be a spirit of gossip. This may be something that unwilling to yield yourself to the will of God. That's serious business in the eyes of God. So it doesn't have to be, it can be some horrible fleshly sin. It can be those things, but it doesn't have to be those things. Are we yielded? You remember back, and I think it was a week or two ago, we talked about what God is wanting us to do is present our bodies a living sacrifice unto him. He cannot fill something that is not his. And he fills us for the sake of being a witness. That's why he fills us for. He doesn't do that just for fun, so we'll run around jumping up and down and hollering hallelujah. The purpose that God fills people is to be a witness for him. That's why he fills us. Amen? So if we're not going to be a witness for him, why would he want to fill us? True? So even the quenching of the Spirit is a sin. It's wrong. What I'm trying to get you to do is this. I'm trying to get you to understand. There's a reason if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we're not being an effective witness for Christ. There's a reason for that. There's something in our life that's hindering that, that's stopping that. And what we need to do as individuals, find out what that is. And don't you think that would be a proper thing to do? Find out what that is that's hindering us. Because for the Lord says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Why won't God hear us? Why won't he fill us? Why won't he use us? Well, there's some sin there, an iniquity there. See, it's not, and again, it's not trying to make you feel bad. It's trying to make us get awakened, saying, what is it? Why isn't God using me? Why is it? You see, one of the first things that God tells us over in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the very first thing, we go a lot on prayer. We believe in prayer. We believe it's necessary. But he says something else before prayer. What is it? Humble. The first thing that God says we must do to be effective is to humble ourselves. That's the first thing. Now, yeah, prayer, seeking his face, turning from our wicked ways. But the first thing is humbleness. And the thing about it is, we've got to learn to humble ourselves before God and admit that these things are in our life that shouldn't be there. How can God fill us? How can God use us if we are not humble before him? Amen. See, humility, you see. Humility before our God. What I really believe is this. I believe all of us need to quit blaming the devil for everything. I think we need to quit blaming the age in which we live. I think what we need to do is just realize that the reason churches are anemic today and work is not being done that ought to be done is our fault, not God's. And I think we need to recognize that on an individual basis. No, not look around at somebody else and say, boy, if they'd get more scripture, more spiritual, everything would be better around here. No, individually, personal, begin to look at self and say, what is it, God, that you want me to do? And God, how can I be yielded to you like I ought to be yielded to you? No, personally, you. See, there ain't anybody in the world can stop God blessing you in your spiritual life but you. I'm convinced of that. We're the only ones can stop. See, so we need to deal with, number one, self. Amen? That's who we need to deal with, you see. We may have a lot of things going on around us that maybe we feel like it's hindering us, but when it comes right down to it, there's none of those can hinder us from serving God and being what we ought to be for God individually inside except ourselves. Now, God can use us. Amen? So again, We just need to be very busy. All right, what do we do then? Well, we've got to just give ourselves unto the Lord and just expect the power of God to be on our life. Just say, you know what, God, I've asked you for the power of God. I'm just going to go forth doing what you have already commanded me to do. I'm going to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm going to do what I can personally, individually. And Lord, I'm going to let you do the rest. I just believe we just need to go forward and do and mind the command of God to go. And I've told you at least five different places he has commanded us to be a witness. Now, there is more than that, but I'm talking about in each gospel and in the book of Acts, he's commanded us to be a witness for him. That is not a suggestion. It is a command of God. Amen. You know, it's exciting. Cora Wagner came up to me right before services. Now, you know that her and Rena's had a lot of... Now, she's helping Gene out in Sunday school this morning. But they've had a lot of physical problems. I mean, tremendous. Did you know Rena's got stung? Got stung with a big old yellow jacket. I mean, just all up and down one arm. I mean, he had to go to the hospital over to the emergency room. And I mean, these folk have been through it. But she came up here this morning, and a lot of times, you know, she has trouble walking out. You all have seen her step. You all have seen how she was walking up here this morning. Just walking. Pastor Ross, she said, I've got one of these. And she told me who it was. She said, I filled that all out. I visited this lady, and she said, Pastor, I think we can get this lady. She said, I think she needs God. I talked to her about her salvation, but she wouldn't answer me. But I want somebody to see her. And he said, we'll just keep praying for her. Told me where she lived. Got all excited. I mean, when she walked away, her step, she, you know what? Being used. Now, if Cora can do it, don't you think we can? I mean, don't you think we can? And she was excited. You know, well, the reason she was excited is she just took that and said, you know what, I'm going out and visit somebody. Now, she just visited one person. But what a visit. She had a visit last week. See, talk to that person, dealt with that person, thinks it's going to be a person we can get into our church. She said, she named the church. She said, now we got to beat this other church because I think they're after her too. So we got to beat this other church, you know. But she was excited. And that's what happens when you begin to let God use you. Amen. So what I'm asking, you know, each one of us to do is just go on. As though we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, go out and mind God, do what he says. Go out and visit, take the gospel, just go on and do it, and let God do the rest. Amen? There's people out there, I believe with all of my heart, that's already under conviction. I believe there's people in our neighborhood under conviction, and they need someone to tell them how to be saved. In the Gospels, a lot of them it's the same account, but eight different times God says, talks about, and he uses the word harvest. He said there's a harvest out there. And I don't know, Brother Jack, I'm not a farmer. Although I loved farming when I was a boy, I helped on a farm. That's what I did when I was a boy. I always, in my mind, I wanted to be a farmer. Now, if I wanted to know anything about farming today, I'd go see Brother Jack, because Brother Ross doesn't know anything about farming. Not today's farming. I don't know nothing about it. But I know enough about farming to know that harvesting isn't sowing. Now, we've got to sow before there's a harvest. But God says the harvest is, it's white unto harvest. And I believe it's out there. You know the house next door here? I don't know if any of you know Marvin Keller. You know Marvin Keller. He lives there in Warwick's old house, you know. We harvested a soul yesterday, Don and I did, a young 18-year-old boy. There, Marvin Keller, I've been working with Marvin probably for a year, dealing with him, talking with him, and I went to see Marvin. That's who I went to see, him and his wife, and he was gone, but his 18-year-old boy was there, and he got saved. There's a harvest out there. In fact, that young man was so receptive. I just kind of stood there and thought, God, you know, you make it easy on your old preacher. I don't feel like I've done anything. I just give him the gospel. And God harvest a soul. Now, what I'm saying is the harvest is out there. There's people out there right now that's under conviction that God is dealing with them about salvation. We need to get out there and harvest it. Amen. Yes, we got to sow also. That's part of it. I think as a preacher, I think I go do a lot of sowing. You know, a lot of times you go, you visit, you just have to sow and sow the word. You do it from the pulpit. You do all these things. And you do too. That's the way you begin to sow. You have to do that. But there's a harvest also. There's people out there that's ready to be harvested. And the only way we're going to find them is go out there and find them. Amen. And harvest them. So we need to go after the harvest. I want to tell you a story. I read this story. It's not originally with me, but a story about back in the Civil War. Said there was a man named Bill. And Bill wanted to be a soldier in the Civil War so bad. And he was so excited about it. But Bill was just a little bit, well, one man put it that Bill was one of these who was about a sandwich and a half short of being a decent picnic. Have you ever heard that? You've heard it where maybe all the lights maybe are not on. Well, that was Bill. But he had such a desire to be a soldier. He wanted to fight. He wanted to be, and he wanted to help his country. And so they took old Bill and put him and give him a rifle and put him in his place along with the other men in line. Bill wasn't very sharp, though, and he didn't know the difference between a charge bugle call and a retreat. He didn't know the difference. So anyway, they got ready, and there was about 200 yards between them and the enemy. There's another wooded area. And they didn't think there was very many enemy there, so they blew the bugle for charge. They was going to go into that wooded area and get the enemy. So they all took off, Bill going as fast as Bill could go. And they took off, and they got near where this wooded area was, and they found out that it was just loaded with soldiers. So they blew the bugle for retreat. They all got back. They missed Bill. They said, "Where's Bill?" So we don't know where Bill is. Oh, I bet he's dead. I bet he got killed. They was all feeling kind of bad. All at once they looked up, and across that area there, from that other wooded area, came old Bill with 15 prisoners. And he was marching behind him with his gun and his rifle and his bayonet, you know. And when they got close, they ran out and said, "Bill, we thought sure you was dead." I said, "What you been doing?" He said, "Well," he said, "they said charge, and I charged." And he said, "Where'd you get these prisoners?" "Oh," he said, "the woods is full of them. Go get your own." Woods is full of them. Go get your own. Full of them. Amen. Bill didn't have enough sense to retreat. Bill just went on. What I was saying is, you know what, folk? They're out there. They may be living next door to you. They may be living next door to the church. That has always bothered me with Marvin Keller living next door to the church. I've been working to him a long time. I've said to myself, "Goodness gracious, we got to do something about a man that's living next door to the church." And I hadn't been successful or anything up to this. And I'm still going to, now, got a great opportunity to go back to see Marvin and his wife, see. But what I'm saying is the woods is full of them, folks. They're out there. We just need to go get them. Amen. I just believe, as it says here in the scripture, that the Spirit of God is given to us to do the work of God. That's what He wants, folks. He won't fill us just for the sake of filling us. What, so you and I will feel good? Is that what it's all about? He going to just fill us so, boy, we'll just feel so good and have such a good time? Is that what it's all about? No, it has nothing to do with it. He fills His people for service. He fills these people to go soul winning. So you know what I'd do? I'd just go after souls. I'd just go soul winning as though I was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I would just ask God to fill me, and I'd just go on as though He's already done it. Amen? And just let Him take care. There's people out there under conviction. I'm convinced of that. They're there waiting. I'm serious. When I talked to this boy about his salvation, it was just like his eyes just got big, and he stood there and he talked. He had a cigarette in his hand, and he finally looked at it and threw it down on the ground. And he just listened so intently, you know, and he got excited about it, you know. And I told him about how he put in his faith in Christ. He said, yeah. I said, my faith's got to be in him, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. I said, yes, you got to put your faith in him. You got to believe in him. Yeah, that's right, he said. That's right. And I said, well, you know, I said, well, you want to get saved? He said, yes, I do. I said, well, then just wait just a minute. You know, I worry about those things. And I said, wait just a minute. See, I didn't know whether he was ready to get saved. Isn't that awful? So I went over it again. I went over everything again. I said, now listen, Greg. I said, now you got to understand what you're doing here. Yeah, I know. I understand. And so I went over it again, told him what it meant. And I said, now you still want to get saved? He said, yeah, I want to get saved. And so he did. What I'm saying is the Holy Spirit of God will do the work. Bob Ross didn't do that, folks. You understand that? Bob Ross didn't do the convicting. He didn't do it. All he was there is as an instrument. That's all. God done the saving. Amen. He done that work, you see. Another thing that we need to do is this. We just got a few moments. Be sure that you try to set some time. I talked about this earlier, but set some kind of time in your schedule to go out and witness. I'm telling you right now, if you don't set a time, you won't get it done. You just will not get it done. Something will come up. So you've got to some way set a time. You want us to take it on Tuesday evening, Monday evening, or whenever you want to do it, or during the day, whatever your schedule is, however you wish to do it, but set a time to do it, because what will happen, day will go by, and you'll find something else to do, and you'll find everybody's busy. Preacher knows all about that. Amen. But you've got to set a time aside and say, I'm gonna go do it. And not only that, put some pressure on yourself. Say, you know what, I'm going to do everything I can to win a soul to Christ this coming week. You're not saying I'm going to, but you're saying, I'm going to do everything I can to see someone saved this week. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to let God use me. Just put some pressure on yourself. Set a goal. If you don't have some kind of goal, you're probably not going to hit anything. It's like a little boy that was shooting at the moon. The other little boy said, well, you're never going to hit that moon shooting at it. He said, I know, but I sure won't hit it if I don't shoot. You got to shoot. You got to set some kind of a goal that says, you know what, I'm going to do everything I can to be a witness. I'm going to try to witness to three or four people this week. You see, whatever, but set a goal, you see. And I believe God will use that, and God will use you to his glory. Amen.